Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time. Valentine's Day excursion with his wife, Schomburg Stu made it in to do the podcast.
I'm in the house and ready to go.
All right. If you'd like to call in and talk to us, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so you can look for something new popping up there, hopefully tomorrow morning. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, we greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Of course, sadly, we still don't have Stu on Twitter yet, but you can hunt me down there at Burke Time. So there you go, all the ways to get in touch with us.
Right.
All right,
I was going to say one thing before you start, seen some rumors in the last couple of hours regarding the impending signing of Bryce Harper, although they didn't mention a team. Did you see the same thing?
Oh, no, I actually, the only thing I heard was what the Yankees would do if he signed there. So I was just kind of like, oh, great, we're back to the Yankees again.
Yeah, the Yankees are a long shot, though. The three teams I saw that were serious contenders were Washington, Philadelphia, and a short-term deal, San Francisco.
Yeah. So, which he has said, you know, him and his agent came out and said he won't be signing a short-term deal. I think that's why lately the Giants have signed a couple journeyman outfielders. You know, they inked Gerardo Parra earlier in the week, and then today they just signed Craig Gentry. So, you know, I think they realize that they're not going to be the place where Harper ends up.
No.
So.
And I thought maybe as a long shot, San Diego Padres would be a contender, but it doesn't look like that way now.
Yeah, you know, they seem a little more interested in Machado than they do Harper. So I wonder if that ends up being a possible landing spot for him.
Possibly. I saw today where Machado was looking for a little bit more than what clubs are willing to pay him so far. He's talking about the 300 million range. I know the White Sox were offering a 175.
Yeah, well, I read a report that the White Sox offer was actually higher than that. It was just, I don't know if it was misreported or unreported or how they went around with it, but I read that it was closer to 225. So, you know, they were kind of in the ballpark. But I think the Padres actually, you know, I heard the Padres, I thought it offered him more or were willing to offer him more. So, you know, we'll have to see where he ends up. But, yeah, I think these guys have just got to realize I don't think they're going to get the kind of money they thought they were going to get.
Yeah, it's been a slow market again this season in terms of major free agency signings. And acquisitions, and has the market tapered off over the last few years, and if so, why?
You know, I actually blame it all on the agents because it's these guys holding their guys out, wanting better deals, you know, and more money. You know, they think they're under the impression that the longer they hold out, a more team is going to pay. You know, or possibly the more teams they can get interested, and it just, you know, it doesn't work that way anymore. And then, of course, you know, they want to shout collusion, you know, because that's, of course, you know, the first thing they're going to come back with. But why, you know, why should you be forced to give a guy $300 million if you think he's worth, you know, $250 or $225? You know, why do you have to meet that agent's price?
Yeah, exactly right. And I wonder if this will be addressed during collective bargaining. And when does the current deal expire? Is it next year?
You know, that's Dan's kind of deal with the podcast here, so I don't really know. Let me see if I can possibly Bing it here and use Dan's favorite search engine. So, you know, if anything actually comes up, but yeah, well, they're talking about the slow moving off season, so
right.
Maybe that well, but yeah, it doesn't look like they have anything here. But yeah, I hope they come up with something to address this. I mean, you know, what they need is a signing deadline. It, you know, fix the trade deadline, make it one dead solid date, call it July 31st or whatever you want to do it, but make it one date, get rid of all the waiver BS, and then come up with a way to control this. You know, okay, here's your deadline. You got to be signed by February 1st.
Yeah, they should also address the issue regarding that two-week deal that Chris Bryan and other players over the years. And
yeah, you definitely
try to get that thing.
Yeah, that's definitely going to be one of the things. If the union doesn't have that at the top of their list, I think the players would – well, I don't know so much about the veteran players, but the younger players, you know, Bryant's going to bring it up and Mikel Franco, and my guess is it's going to happen to Fernando Tatis Jr. this year. He's the number one rated prospect in the Padres system. I got a feeling we probably won't see him till May when they can push his arbitration back one more year.
Yeah.
So they're going to have to make that change.
Well, you really can't blame the owners for doing that. Why shouldn't they have one more year of control if that's the way the agreement reads right now?
Yeah, you know, it's, you know, what they say, good for business. You know, obviously it stinks if you're a player. But, you know, I mean, Bryan isn't hurting. What was he awarded, $10, $12 million or something like that in arbitration? So, you know,
he'll be okay.
You know, and as he gets further along, I think Nolan Arenado was just awarded $24 or $26 million. So it's there as long as he plays well. He won't have any problem getting his payday.
Right, and I'm wondering if they ever have a clause up, and I'm sure it'll never happen, but how about pay based upon performance, quality of performance? You play better, you get more money. You don't play as well, you get less.
Well, you know, that's kind of how it used to be. I mean, I remember the old story, I believe it was Hank Greenberg, won the MVP for his team to the owner and asked for a raise, and the owner said, why? We could finish in last place like we did last year without you.
Yeah, very true, very true.
So, you know, I mean, if a guy said that to a player this year, it would be all over the news, and he'd be the worst owner in sports. And, you know, I mean, it's odd how, you know, players react today compared. But, you know, like yesterday, I don't know if you saw this, but Trevor Bauer went on a rant. He went to arbitration with the Indians, and I believe he won. But he started complaining that it was character assassination on the part of the Indians for, you know, the way they, have to, you know, approach arbitration to try to win their case. So, I mean, hard feelings or not, I don't know what you look at it. He won a $13 million award for this season. So, you know, not bad money. I would take that kind of payday, but yeah, he had and it's the Labor Relations Board that he had a problem with. The rebuttal portion of the in the hearing, he said, assassinated his character by criticizing his presence on social media. So,
what was the criticism about, though? Did you know what the actual criticism was?
Yeah, it doesn't look like he actually says what they criticized. It looks like they're comparing. He used the number 69, so they associated that in a sexual connotation. And then he was dumb enough to use the number 420, which of course is associated with the use of marijuana. So it looks like he kind of tried to use wordplay, and they tried to turn it on him, you know, because obviously he's hinting at things by using these numbers. We all get that. But, you know, you've got to take the good with the bad here, Trevor. I mean, if you're going to do that, there are people who are going to take this the wrong way.
Yeah, absolutely. But I don't think he has anything to be sorry getting that kind of a deal. I mean, that's, what is it's a 1 year deal, and then does he go into free agency the next season?
You know, I don't know. I don't think so. I think he might have one more year of control with the Indians, but I know he's getting close to free agency because, you know, he was one of the guys that, you know, they considered trading him in the off season to save some money. You know, they had talked about moving him or Cooper. So, but yeah, let me see. I can tell you here in a quick second, as soon as my internet catches up, if and when Bauer is going to hit the free agent market here. Yeah, he's got one more year of arbitration, so he's a free agent in 2021.
So we'll have to go through the whole thing again next year.
Yeah, unless they can, you know, settle, you know, like Luis Severino did settle today. He took 4 years and $40 million from the Yankees with an option for a 50-year rest of his arbitration years.
No, that's a nice deal to get. That's a nice deal to get. Yeah, there was some interesting stuff today in baseball. Did you see that piece that about Jake Arrieta?
Which one? Dan and I talked about something earlier in the week.
Well, this is the first time I read about it, was that he's blaming his subpar performance last season, especially the latter half, on a knee injury, and he had some kind of surgery recently. Did you hear about that?
Yeah, we were trying to figure out why he waited so long to have the surgery and didn't have it right after the season so he would be ready for spring training.
Well, supposedly he should be ready anyway. I mean, he should be ready to go. I guess it wasn't a real serious type surgery, so he said he's really ready to get into the spring training mode without any setbacks. And don't forget, he's not a youngster anymore either. I mean, he's not a youngster. He's 33. So some pitchers go on a downward spiral when they get into that age bracket. And he certainly is not looking at the pitcher he looked in during his great year with the Cubs. When was it, back in 2015 when he had his great year?
Yeah, I remember they read it the first part I read said it was a meniscus injury. But reading here, Arrieta himself calls it a cartilage injury. His quote is, "I originally tore it sometime in June. I believe maybe a little bit before that." He went 1-5 with a 6.35 ERA down the stretch. You know, I honestly think the reason he stunk so bad is because he missed the majority of spring training and he was out of gas by the time that part of the season rolled around. But at least he's got something to blame it on. So
right. And that's a good point, by the way. That always seems to be a factor with some of these players signing so late in spring training, and they go on to have a not very good year, which is what happened to him last season, certainly. And I think you're right about that being a factor, though.
It's really pitchers that this really affects.
Yeah.
You know, because obviously hitters can catch up. I mean, J.D. Martinez signed late. It didn't really affect him. But, you know, you look at the pitchers, Arrieta didn't have, you know, he had a good year, but not a great year, not an ace year. You know, Andrew Cashner and Alex Cobb, well, Alex Cobb was embarrassingly bad. And, you know, it took Cashner a while before he finally made a couple decent starts. But in reality, he wasn't very good last year. So, you know, you got to look at these guys. And right now, the only main guy out there is Dallas Keuchel, who's still not signed. And, you know, you've got to wonder, I mean, if I'm a team interested in him, I might be having second thoughts because, you know, obviously Arrieta worked out all last off season. You know, he did his yoga, he threw to hitters, but that doesn't replace pitching in games, even if they're spring training games.
There's nothing that can substitute for game conditions, no matter how much you do in the off season.
So, yeah, you know, I think that really hurt him. And obviously, you know, like I said, I don't have Cobb or, you know, Cashner's numbers in front of me, but I let me tell you, they were bad, and I will double check them by looking to see how bad they were. But yeah, it was just
not very
wow.
good. Has Cashner ever really lived up to his hype? He's had a couple of fair years, but never as good as the indications were that he would be a super pitcher.
Yeah, you know, I remember he had a really good year with the Padres, but I don't remember if that was two or whatever. Here we go. Cobb made 28 starts last year. He was 5-15 with a 4.90 ERA. Cashner almost also made 28 starts. He was 4-15, and his ERA was 5.29. So, yeah, you wonder why the Orioles were 47-115 last year? Yeah, there you
go.
There's
some pretty
part
good
of your
reasons right off the bat, aren't they?
Yeah. So, you know, that, and they traded one of their best pitchers, you know, halfway through the year. They sent Kevin Gausman to Atlanta. So, yeah, you know, you look at Cashner, like in Texas, he went 11-11 in 28 starts in 2017, but he did have a 3.40 ERA, which is really good in that ballpark.
Yeah.
He's been on some bad teams, so like he's actually only had one winning record in his career. So,
okay.
He has had decent numbers. Yeah. You know, here and there, it's really spotty. Like, he had good years in a row back-to-back with San Diego. But the problem was, like, in 2014, he was having a really good year, and he got hurt. He only made 19 starts.
Yeah.
You know, and then he ever since he's came back from that, he's been bad with that one exception of the year in Texas. So you wonder if the Orioles may have overpaid there, you know, on the thought that they were getting the guy from Texas, and it didn't work out.
Amazing.
You know, then if you were
Baltimore had a good team. Baltimore used to have good teams.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah. Well, remember the Cubs actually offered Alex Cobb the contract Tyler Chatwood took because Cobb turned it down because he wanted $20 million a season.
Yeah. Well, that turned out kind of a wash for the Cubs, though, didn't it?
Yeah. I think if he would have signed with the Cubs, he would have gotten in camp. And he probably would have been better than what he was last year because he was coming off a year. He made 29 starts in Tampa Bay. He was 12-10 with a 3.66 ERA. He only made 5 starts in 2016 because he was hurt. But in 2014, he had a 2.87 ERA. And in 2013, he had a 2.76 ERA. So he had really put up some good numbers with Tampa Bay. And, you know, he had pretty much had a winning record anytime he made more than 20 starts, except for last year. And he was a dog last year.
He was horrible, absolutely horrible. And that's why a lot of teams are reluctant to give pitchers these long-term deals. Of course, it has worked out for the Cubs, at least in one case.
No.
But,
well,
by
you know,
way,
like,
talking about here, I got to tell you one quick thing, and then you can continue. Sorry, but I don't know if you noticed the sports last night, but they showed up. They had a little thing about Joe Maddon talking about how great Chatwood is, how tough he is to hit. There's only one problem. You got to throw the ball over the plate.
Yeah, you know, in comparison, Cobb got 4 years from the Orioles at $57 million. Chatwood got 3 years at $38 from the Cubs. So, you know, number-wise, they're pretty comparable.
Similar, yeah, they're similar.
So, you know, Cobb sitting out didn't help him any. You know, it didn't really get him, you know, a ton of extra money like I believe he thought it was going to. But, you know, that's how guys are nowadays. They all think that they deserve the gigantic paydays, and, you know, we'll see if, you know, maybe he bounces back this year, but, you know, Baltimore still isn't going to be a very good team.
No.
So.
At least Philadelphia has a chance to be a contender if Arrieta can bounce back to at least close to what his dominant self was a few years ago.
Yeah, well, you know, I think, you know, they'll probably be okay if he can just pitch like he did last year. because they have a lot of up-and-coming young starting pitching. You know, obviously, you know, Aaron Nola is a big-time ace, and, you know, they have some guys. Obviously, I think he's got – Arrieta's got to end up winning more than 10 games, but the win is so iffy now. I think maybe if he just gives them closer to 200 innings. He went 172 and two-thirds last year. So I think if he can eat up some more innings, he'll pick up a few more wins. And if that ERA is, I don't know, 350, 360, I think they're okay because he's lucky. You know, kind of like the Cubs here, he doesn't need to be the ace. You know, they've got Aaron Nola.
Right, right. The problem with him, though, is that, as you pointed out, his inning pitches are way, way down. Does he ever go past five or six innings anymore?
Well, you know, I mean, obviously last year he didn't because he was away, from the team. And, you know, in Chicago, you got to start questioning a lot because it seems that's how Joe Mannen manages. If your name's not John Lester, you don't get to stay in the game. You know, I mean, how many times did you see Kyle Hendricks get yanked after, you know, 4 1/3 or 4 2/3 because he gave up a couple hits? I mean, did he want to finish the inning?
No.
So,
very true.
And, you know, that's kind of the new wave in baseball.
And I'm wondering if we'll do the same thing with Hamill. Let him go more than five innings.
Yeah. You know, that's a scary thing. I mean, these guys think, you know, that you could just continue to run the bullpen guys out there and they're going to save you, and it doesn't, you know, eventually you blow the bullpen out.
Yeah. There is one pitcher that he does seem to let in longer than most. Is that Quintana? Seems to pitch a little bit more than the other.
Lester, too. Lester stays out there, you know, for as long as he wants.
Yeah, because we've seen Quintana pitch 110, 120 pitches in a game, which is unheard of by today's standards.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, there's really nothing wrong with that as long as the delivery is correct and you're watching the guy. I mean, like, I don't think any of these guys who, you know, throw 100 plus could go that long because they'll run out of gas. But, you know, the control guys, you know, that's why it always baffles me when Hendricks comes out of the game after four or five innings, because it's not like he's out of gas. It just, Mannen just doesn't trust him.
No.
You know what I mean? He literally, he manages scared, and I don't get it. You know, I mean, leave your guy out there and, you know, let him pitch. And, I mean, he's not the only guy who does it. I mean, Milwaukee is going to be a staple for that. I mean, they're going to get four or five innings out of a starter every game and hope to God their bullpen holds up for 6 months of the season.
Yeah, the thing with Hendricks that I've noticed is that he could be sailing along, pitching great for three, four innings, and then he gets hammered in the following inning. So maybe that's one of the reasons why he gets yanked as quickly as he does. He seems to, when he loses it, he loses it quickly.
Yeah, but, you know, you got to give guys a chance to fight through that. You know, I mean, that's the only way they learn or they become better pitchers because, you know, I mean, every time you get in trouble, if you start looking over your shoulder, you're never going to get out of trouble. And that's all it is with him. I mean, the minute, you know what I mean, I'm surprised he doesn't get pulled in the first inning. Because it's just kind of like the minute there's an issue with him, they're running to get him out of the game. And it's like, great, why? You know, I mean, let's let him see if he can work through this a little bit. They're not the only ones. You know, I mean, like I said, wait till you see Milwaukee this year. So.
Right, and of course, as we remember back to 2016 in the World Series when he was pitching great in the seventh game and he was yanked kind of prematurely. And
yeah.
That could have ended up a disaster for the Cubs.
Yeah, and again, you know, why? Just because we had a manager who was managing scared. You know, it didn't have anything to do with the pitching. He was just terrified of, you know, everything else. You know, and now,
oh,
you know, I mean, I'll be interested in how he's going to be this year because, you know, whether he knows it or not, he's managing for his job.
Yeah, and according to some of the forecasters, his job is certainly going to be in jeopardy if what they're forecasting for the Cubs' win total comes to fruition.
Yeah, well, you know, with those idiots, if there's anybody out there, I will I'll take the over on the Cubs' 80 wins if anybody wants to lay that bet with me because You know, obviously, and, you know, Dan and I went over this a little bit yesterday. Whoever does these projections, whatever they pump into the computer, because obviously it's got to be manually inputted. The computer just doesn't spit it out by itself. You know, it's kind of clear that these guys don't like the Cubs because you can't look at their lineup and tell me it's not better than the Brewers, Cardinals, Reds, Pirates, and you know, who else? That's it. That's everybody in the division. You can't tell me they're, you know, the Reds have a good everyday lineup, but the Cubs starting pitching is, the Cubs pitching overall is better. The Cardinals improve their lineup, but it's not better than the Cubs. The Brewers are planning on starting Corey Spangenberg at second base. Yeah, okay, I don't even need to go any deeper. And the Pirates are the Pirates. You know, their best player is going to miss the start of the season. There's really no projection on when he's going to be back. You know, what I would love to know is how come only the Cubs' record changed in the division? Why did they get one more loss and the Pirates and the Reds didn't? You know, I mean, because they readjusted it after the Phillies got Realmuto. Does that mean the Phillies are going to beat the Cubs one more game, but they're not going to be able to beat the Pirates or the Reds one more time? Or even the Cardinals or the Brewers?
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's just Cubs that they're going to beat that one more time?
Yeah. So, do you think the Cubs have a shot at 95 wins again this season? Or do you think more in the lines of 88, 89 is more realistic?
Yeah, I'm kind of set at 90. You know, but obviously I think 90 is going to be good enough to win the division. You know, I think they're going to come in right around that mark because it is, you know, it is a tougher division now. You know, the teams have improved. You know, St. Louis is better. Just by adding Goldschmidt, St. Louis got better. You know, Cincinnati does have a competitive everyday lineup now. But again, you know, pitching is pitching. We'll see how their veteran guys hold up, and they really don't have a true number one. You know, Pittsburgh, you look at Pittsburgh, they have a really good young pitching staff and a really good bullpen. But you look at their everyday lineup, and you got to figure out how the hell they're going to score.
Yeah, they don't look too good on paper, that's for sure.
You know, then you know, Milwaukee, you know, again, they're an interesting team, but does Yelich repeat the year he just had? I mean, that's tough to do. You know, like, I think he'll have a very good year, and I think he's still a very good player, but I just don't know if those numbers are going to be the same. You know, and then, you know, there's a lot of guys. I mean, like, I really like the addition of Grandal as the catcher because that's going to get you 30 bombs. But, you know, you've got to get Jesus Aguilar to repeat his numbers. You know, Travis Shaw really isn't what you would call a stud. Ryan Braun seems to be on the decline. You know, Orlando Arcia had trouble hitting. You know, Orlando Arcia hit so bad, they sent him to the minors, and Tyler Saladino was their everyday shortstop last year. So now, you know, the kid's only 24. Maybe he works it out. But then, you know, you get to the bottom of their order, and there's Corey Spangenberg sitting there. Now, while he was a former number one draft pick, he washed out with the Padres. So he's going to regain this magic with the Brewers?
Well, that does seem unlikely. But it should be an interesting, as you pointed out, a very, very competitive division this season.
Yeah, you know what I mean? You know, don't even get me started on their pitching. I mean, their projected rotation, Julius Chacin is the number one. They got Chase Anderson at two, Zach Davies at three, Brandon Woodruff at four, and they get Jimmy Nelson back to be the fifth starter, which is a big plus. That's a dominant rotation? Yeah.
Not very dominant, but will Nelson come back at full strength, too? That's the key.
Yeah, well, you know, he'll have a full spring training. I think he'll be okay. But, you know, so obviously it's clear, you know, they're going to do the bullpen thing. But, again, you know, when you start doing that right off the bat, you know, you've got to go through the entire season. You know, by the end of the year, these guys are going to be gassed unless you're, you know, working on the train back and forth from AAA. But then, you know, you're going to have to count on some guys that you might not want to count on.
Yeah, as you pointed out, they do have a lot of flaws, but they'll be solid. They'll be up there. They'll be a contender in that division. I guess mostly everybody will.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it looks like it. You know, it definitely does. You know, the division is much improved, which, you know, obviously is good for baseball. So, you know, I mean, you can't go wrong with that. But I don't see the Brewer hype. I get it. They had a fantastic year last year, but that's difficult to reproduce every year. And, you know, the only upgrade they really made was Grandal. You know, they didn't upgrade anywhere else.
Yeah, well, that's a big upgrade, though.
So, you know, and I mean, with all the second basemen out there, I mean, hell, Josh Harrison is still sitting out there on the market. He would be a gigantic upgrade over Spangenberg, and I get it. They have a prospect that they're waiting for. Let me see. I always butcher this guy's name. It's Keston. The first name I get right, it's Keston. But I believe the last name is pronounced Hyru. But he's only a double A, so you're probably two, maybe even 3 years.
Yeah, a year or two away for sure at the best.
So, you know, that's just kind of – but that appears to be their track. Unless maybe he's fast-tracked, then he's going to pop up at, you know, the end of this year. Or if there's problems, maybe they – you know, maybe they'll turn to him. I mean, he is going to be 23 soon, so maybe he's closer than we thought. But, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, we'll find out. I'll tell you what worries me. And you're a baseball expert. I'm asking you a serious question. In terms of the Cubs starting lineup and the younger players, have their younger players hit the wall? I'm talking about Schwarber. I'm talking about Happ. I'm talking about Contreras. Is this what we're going to get from them every year from now on?
Yeah, you know, the only guy I'm worried about is Contreras because he really just fell off whatever last year. I don't know what happened to him. But, you know, yeah, the other guys, I mean, you know, even when you look at Schwarber, while his average wasn't great, and obviously like everybody else in baseball, he strikes out too much, you know, he was still really close to being a 30-homer guy. I think he ended up with 26. Hop, I don't know about Hop. You know, that whole thing confuses me. I honestly think if he played every day, we might get a little more out of him. But, you know, that's probably not going to happen until next year when Ben Zobrist finally goes away. So it may be another struggle for him, you know, this year, because, you know, he doesn't really have a position.
No. Although he's can play a lot of different positions, at least, which is in his favor. But he just strikes out way too many times.
You know, that's his plan. You know, he's supposed to be Ben Zobrist's replacement. He's supposed to be the guy to fill in all over the diamond. But, you know, he can get a lot of at-bats this way, but with Zobrist still on the team, he can't get those at-bats because Zobrist gets them. You know, and you know Matt is always going to go to Zobrist.
Yeah,
over anybody
he's
else.
He's going to go to Zobrist for sure. And this is the last year of Zobrist's contract, I believe, right?
It is. So.
And the question is, will he retire after this season?
Yeah, well, you would think it, you know, he's going to turn 38 here. You would think, you know, either A, he retires or the Cubs just don't bring him back. You know, maybe he ends up hanging on to play somewhere else next year, but I can't see him being in a Cub uniform next year. It just doesn't make a lot of sense. You know, right now there's too many young guys he's holding back. I mean, you know, Happ should be filling that utility role and Almora should be playing center field every day. So.
Right. And of course we'd like to see a little more pop from Almora. And certainly he seems to have a lot of trouble with, I guess, right-handed pitching. We'd like to see some improvement there. And like you say, maybe if he plays every day, we will see that happening.
You know, Cody Bellinger of the Dodgers just brought up the fact that, and I'm getting a kick now how the players themselves are starting to come out against sabermetrics. He mentioned that he needs to play every day. You know, and he flat out admitted that he does have some struggles against left-handers, but if he doesn't play against them, he can't improve against them. You know, and he flat out said, you know, he's an exciting player. He's the best, I think he's the best base runner and the best, You know, I think he said the best power hitter on the team. And, I mean, he put up a really good argument, you know, and just flat out said, hey, you know, you've got to play me every day. So, you know, I love that. And that's kind of the same thing with these guys. I mean, there's just, you know, they're not getting the at-bats that they need.
Yeah, it seems like it's an error of platoon hitting, isn't it? You didn't see
well,
that
you know,
ago.
That's what the matrix tells you to do, so they all jump in and do it. You know, you read into whatever it says, and then, you know, everybody buys it. And, you know, you don't think for yourself. The manager doesn't get to play a hunch. He gets to play whatever the computer numbers say to play.
Yeah, that's, that's not the way to run a team. I just, like you say, there's too much emphasis on it right now.
So, yeah, you know, and it buries anything that, you know, like I emailed you, you know, this is another thing that we talked about. You know, I didn't realize this till the news came out after the World Series, but Dave Roberts really didn't manage the Dodgers. He was given the lineup from upstairs. They set it up according to their sabermetric principles for every game. And then he was told who was available in the bullpen.
Yeah,
so
well,
I don't even know.
Back into the World Series, but then they certainly faltered in the World Series, and I'm wondering if it was because of those decisions that were made.
Yeah, you know, because it was humorous, and like I always wondered about it. There were a couple games, you know, like the Brewers had that game where Wade Miley went out and pitched one inning, and then they took him out and they went to a right-hander, and the Dodgers completely changed their lineup because they were set up to face the lefty. So they switched almost their entire batting order because the Brewers brought in a righty after Miley. And it's just kind of like, okay, what if we go back to a lefty? You know, now you've got to eat it.
Yeah. It's challenging the way baseball is played nowadays.
So, you know, but like I'm getting a kick out of, you know, like these pitchers coming out against the opener. You know, Garrett Cole even mentioned that he believes it'll start to hurt attendance because people don't want to come to watch baseball do math. You know, he said he's not paying to see a math equation. So, you know, I think, you know, teams have got to learn. I mean, obviously, you can use these numbers. You know, they're good for certain things. But, man, you don't need to base your entire team around it.
No, there's certain intangibles that just aren't done through 100% sabermetrics or analysis like that. It's just not going to work that way.
So, yeah, you know, it just becomes a joke after a while, and it's like, really? You know, it's like, yeah, because it's funny because, you know, well, you know, we looked at all the metrics and we did this and we did that, and Mike Trout is the best player in baseball according to this. Well, no kidding. You didn't have to pump up all these numbers to tell me Mike Trout is the best player in baseball.
Yeah.
You know, did I need that?
it's pretty obvious. No. You don't have to hit us over the head with a hammer, right? We know he's the best player. So,
like one of the stupid things, you know, last year they came out and apparently Albert Pujols was the worst player in baseball. So, you know, it was kind of like, oh, okay, this guy is it. He's the end-all, be-all of worst players. And obviously, you know, he's not the Pujols he was in St. Louis, but, you know, he hit .245, he hit 19 homers, drove in 64 RBIs. You know, he had, what do you have here? He had 465 at-bats, only struck out 65 times. Okay, now that's compared to these other guys who are striking out 200-plus times a year and leaving runners all over the bases. But Pujols is the worst player in baseball.
Yeah, and I certainly don't agree with that. I don't know who said that, but
it was sabermetrics. They figured it out with sabermetrics.
I just can't see that being accurate.
So yeah, I kind of laugh that, you know, these guys seem to be willing to take, you know, literally these guys who hit 200, you know, they'll hit, you know, 40 home runs, but they'll strike out 200 times and they'll hit 200. You know, now, you know, we're talking about a guy here who literally he struck out 65 times last year in the games he played.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to guess, you know, his balls in play were a lot better than some of these other guys, but yet he's the worst.
Yeah, I can't see that. And what about some of these catchers that hit 200 or 195 and only hit a few home runs? Why wouldn't they be considered worse player than Pujols?
You know, they get kind of a slide because obviously they play a tougher defensive position. So if you're a good pitch handler or a good defender, you can still get by being a weaker hitter. But here, how about this one? I gave you Pujols' numbers. I got a guy here who hit 40 bombs last year, drove in 92 runs, hit a whopping 206, and struck out 207 times. But they love this guy because he hit 40 home runs.
Yeah, that was the answer.
Yeah. You know, but even like, you know, Chris Davis of the Orioles hit .168 last year with 60 homers, 49 RBIs, and only hit 192. But yet he's a better player than Albert Pujols. I'm not buying that.
No, nor I. I mean, I don't see how anybody could buy that argument.
Yeah, you look at these, you know, these strikeout totals, and you know there's three guys over 200, a guy at 192, you know, I mean they're just gigantic, and you know, I mean, you know, at least, you know, now Bryce Harper did strike out 169 times, but he also walked 130. So, you know, while it's a large number on one side, obviously it's a large number on the other side too. So, but yeah, it's difficult to find a guy who walked more than he strikes out now.
I'm wondering if that's why some of the sports writers are saying baseball is a dying sport in the United States. And I don't know if it's because of the length of the games or the amount of strikeouts or lack of situational hitting, but I'm not sure if I could buy that. There'll always be baseball, but maybe the popularity is not as good as it once was.
Well, you know, what's the worst thing to see when you go to a baseball game? You go there, you sit there, and nothing gets put into play. You know, I mean, you know, even if guys are grounding out or flying out, at least they're hitting the ball. But who wants to sit there, you know, unless a guy is dominating and he's going to strike out 20 and tie the record or whatever, you know, who wants to sit there and watch a team just strike out over and over? You know, you get a guy on second base with one out, and the next two guys strike out. You don't even get the guy to third base.
Yeah, that's one of the major things wrong with baseball now. As we pointed out many times, the lack of situational hitting. Some in the old days, there are a few players that still do this. They'll sacrifice themselves to move the player from second to third. But not too many will do it.
Well, you know what's funny is I heard a guy say that the reason players don't do that now is because you don't get paid for that.
Yeah, you get paid to hit the long ball and strike out 250 times a year.
Home runs and your power. So, you know, that's how it kind of apparently works out is, you know, that's the way it goes. So,
well, we're on a baseball thing. I have to ask you what you think about the Cub Network for 2020.
Yeah, you know, I haven't really looked into it. I know Dan was much more excited about it than I am. You know, like I heard the announcement, and I was just kind of like, oh, okay. I'm just hoping that, you know, it doesn't work out like the Dodgers one did, where not everybody gets it.
That's the thing I'm worried about.
I would
25% of the fan base in Southern California get the Dodgers.
Yeah.
Only one cable company carries them.
Yeah, that's my fear is it's going to be limited to one, you know, one cable company, and it's not going to be the cable company I have. And you know, like you can't stream Cub games because they're your local team. So even having the MLB Network, you know, the MLB I forgot what they call it package. Extra innings, that won't even help you because it's your local team and you can't watch their games.
I believe that this network has already said they're not going to carry the Cub Network for next season.
Yeah.
But they're notorious for doing that.
Yeah, they have problems with a lot of networks, I know. But, like, we're AT&T here, so I'm hoping, they pick it up. Or, I might have to talk my roommate into switching networks again, which we've done a few times.
Yeah, World Comcast will pick it up. That should be interesting. And how are they going to possibly have 24 hours a day devoted to baseball? How much content is it going to be? Strictly baseball? I know Sinclair owns the state, is one of the partners of the Cub Network. Will they show other sports during the off season, or it'll be strictly documentaries on baseball, interviews, roundtables, discussions on baseball?
Yeah, you do have to wonder. I mean, see, I haven't heard anything on what their plans are, but you've got to think. I mean, they can't be, strictly just showing baseball unless, you're going to go through and, what, you're going to show minor league games? You're going to, show the minor league games in the off season? So
show games from the Dominican Republic or from Japan, or I don't know how they're going to fill all that content.
So, of course, it's definitely.
It's going to be tough, but by the way, you and I are both happy though because of this new network. I was happy to see that both Mr. Casper and Mr. Deshays have been retained to work games for next season. You and I are both ecstatic about that news, I'm sure.
Yeah, just what I wanted to hear. And I mean, I'm not surprised. I mean, they're the perfect, kind of duo for this. So it's not like a surprise that they get they get going.
Well, we've talked about this. When Len Casper does the game of the week on Fox, he's an entirely different announcer.
Yeah,
he's actually good.
It's definitely a different guy. So I'm looking here. I was trying to read a couple of the online articles by the Tribune, but they want me to sign up and buy the subscription. But like this one says, end of free Cub games on local TV. So I don't know. Well, obviously, I guess that just means that Channel 7 won't be carrying them anymore.
Or Channel 9. Don't forget Channel 9. Yeah. And they've been covering Cub games since 1948 or 47. This will be the last season for them.
So here, let's see. I think I can probably get in on this one and see if we have any kind of news. It says the Cubs are going to give up they have a 20% stake in the NBC Chicago network. So they're going to give up that. No longer Cub games on ABC, NBC Sports Chicago, or WGN. ESPN will still cover their games.
And Fox, will have some of their games too.
Yeah,
game of the week.
Yeah, it looks like the national. They don't mesh with the national media. It doesn't say anything about Fox, but obviously you would think. So, it doesn't look like it says anything about who's going to have it or anything like that.
It's going to be very complex for them to secure to negotiate with all these different companies in the Chicagoland area, like Comcast, AT&T, and I don't think, as I said, Dish Network won't carry them. Maybe WOW, are they going to go for the extra $6 or $7 a month cost to get the Cub Network?
Yeah, you do have to wonder, will you have to pay more to get this? So
as you pointed out, Southern California have been hurting for years because of the Dodger Network. And only one, I think it's Charter One, is the only one in Southern California that carries the Dodgers games on their system. But they have a lot of other cable companies out there.
So, yeah, it doesn't look like, you know, this article talks more about Sinclair itself, because apparently they are a very far, as it puts here, it's as far-right news network that tries to kill local news. So, that's what they're listening to.
At one time, Sinclair was trying to buy WG in America, but I guess that deal fell through.
Yeah. So, yeah, well, you know, we'll have to see. But, yeah, it doesn't, you know, right now it just kind of looks like, you know, everything is in the beginning stages,
right,
and they're going to have to, you know, work this out and figure out who's going to go where. But, yeah, you know, if the, you know, if the, you know, cable providers aren't buying, you know, you got to wonder where they go or what they do.
Yeah, and they'll have to get one, at least one provider. If they have their own, it's not going to do any good for them to have their own network if none of the cable companies want to cover them or carry them. Of course, we know that's not going to happen because the Cubs are just popular in the Chicago market and have been for years.
Yeah, but you know they could possibly, you know, price themselves out of the market if they start asking for too much money. So,
yeah, and that's always a concern.
But, yeah, you know, it's definitely something, you know, locally, obviously, here we'll have to keep our eye on and, you know, just have to see. But, yeah, hopefully it goes better than the damn, you know, the way the Dodgers one worked out.
Yeah, that really was a disaster.
You know, yeah, and I still don't even think it's straightened out there, is it? I mean, it's still.
No. It's still only Charter One, I think. I think it's only about 25 or 30% of the area in Southern California get the Dodger games.
So, yeah, that's got to be just wonderful. Yeah, you know, it's like, hey, I'm gonna, you know, I want to watch my team, and they're not on. So,
and I suppose a diehard Dodger fan would probably switch over to the only cable company that covers the Dodgers.
Yeah, you know, just what you know, what else can you do, right?
Right. If you want to see the games, you got to go to Charter One. But we hope that there is a market available in Chicago that would enable them to be carried on a multitude of cable systems.
Yeah, you know, that's just one of those things. I mean, we gotta, you know, gonna have to, you know, have to deal with it and see how it goes. But luckily, we have a little time to see what they're gonna do and, you know, figure it out. I will be interested to see what like the NBC Sports Network does. You know, because
they
carry all the Chicago.
Yeah, they'll still be carrying the White Sox, the Blackhawks, and the Bulls.
Yeah. But, you know, obviously that gives them.
They're locked there. They're locked there, but they're certainly going to miss the Cubs.
Yeah, you know, the Cubs are their, you know, obviously probably their, I would have to say their bread and butter, you know, when it comes to that. The only thing that's better than the Cubs would be to handle the Bears, and they don't do that.
No, that's the only one they don't handle.
Unless somebody starts winning, which it doesn't look like any of those other three teams are close to doing yet. They may end up eating some ratings.
Yeah, I'm sure they will. I'm sure they will. And I'm sure the Cub Network, the new impending Cub Network, is hoping that the Cubs have a decent season in 2019.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that would be the best thing for them, you know, was to have a good year and then, you know, move, because then that'll get more people interested and, you know, all that other fun stuff that goes along with that. But I don't know. You know, I don't think I've ever watched anything. Maybe I watched something on a Sinclair network and didn't even know I was watching it, but I don't even know what they own.
Yeah, they're in a lot of markets, but they're not in the Chicago market, Sinclair. They tried to get in. I said to see that purchase of WGN or merger in WGN America, but somehow that fell through the cracks, and they are not in a lot of major markets. I don't think they're in New York either. So they're in a lot of markets, but not any of the major ones.
well, maybe this is their start. You know, this will get them into Chicago,
yeah.
And you know, maybe they'll be able to to build off this and make it. I don't know whatever they're attempting to do, but you know, I think it helped because I believe the Ricketts family is a. I saw as like a supporter, I don't know, of them, of whatever they do, you know, kind of their views, I believe, would be the way to look at it. So, I'm sure that made it a lot easier.
Yeah, there's been a lot of controversy on some of the remarks the Elder Ricketts has made a few years ago. That's been surfacing on the Internet recently. Yeah. So that doesn't help the Cubs' image at all.
No, well, I think you and I talked about it last week, how, you can go through and find just about anything anybody said since the Internet, came to be.
Yeah.
So, you think, just because you delete it doesn't mean it goes away.
No, and they go back 10, 20, 30 years. I've seen some things go back that surfaced on the Internet, so the tentacles are there, reaching out and enveloping us.
Yeah, well, and it's weird because, they don't look at like, he said this when he was this or that. I mean, I know they got on some of the baseball players last year from what would be conceived as racist tweets that they made when they were, 15, 16, 17. And it's like, they were just stupid kids. Everybody has probably made that, maybe not that kind of mistake, but I mean, if you go back through your teenage years, everybody has done something stupid.
It's part of growing up, that's right.
This obviously is a full-grown man who did this, so it's a little different when it comes to him and their research and this stuff. But, sadly, that's what makes this country great, right, is we're allowed to have beliefs even if we don't agree with them or if they're negative.
That's freedom of speech for you, and we are the freest nation in the world.
So that's the price you pay. You're not going to get everybody on the same page, no matter what, And I mean, so like we talked about it with the national anthem. I mean, I didn't agree with the NFL players kneeling, but I had no problem with them doing it because it was their right. So
absolutely. Well, I should stop at my local store and buy a MAGA hat pretty soon, right?
Yeah. Oh, be careful. You can get beat up for wearing those things.
Better watch out.
I think they just beat up a cameraman or something for wearing one at a rally. So,
yeah.
Which of course is even stupider because what did that accomplish? Now you got an arrest record and you got to put up with all that stuff. So.
Yeah, we do have a bit of divisiveness throughout our nation at the moment, don't we?
Yeah, I think it just kind of goes, no matter who's in charge or whatever, I mean, you know how that is. They're, half of them are always going to think they're wrong. So.
Yeah, you can't please everybody.
Yeah. No, that's the thing. It's just, it's always going to be like this. Some cases it's worse than others, but. That's just kind of how it goes. But, man, look at that. We are done already. I can't believe how fast that is going. So, all right, Fantasy and I are going to 10 a.m. Sunday morning to do 2 hours a day. We'll be ready for that. Of course, follow us on the other deal. Get over to sportsradio.com. Check out what's going on over there. That's the one we'll pop up tomorrow morning. So, go ahead and hit that link. Get over to the Facebook page and give that a like. And don't forget to tell us you. At Sports Time Radio. Feel free to look me up on Twitter. I am at Sports Time. It is always good. Thanks for listening live. But remember, you can get the podcast anytime you want over at TuneIn.com.